Hare Krishna, I've been asked by disciples of His Holiness Purnachandra Goswami Maharaj to speak about him as the commemoration of his disappearance from this world is just coming up. I'm very happy to do so, to purify myself by remembering a great Vaishnava. It's at short notice, and I didn't have extensive association with him, so I won't be saying that much. Although we did share some good times together, and we were just getting to know each other more and more. But then he passed away from this world. He was based in England for quite some time, but only after I had left there. He's born in America, and he was on, as far as I remember, he was on the Radha Damodar Party, famous in the early to mid 1970s. And like pretty much all the devotees I know, or many of them who were on that party, he always had a great sense of respect and gratefulness for His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who was the driving force behind the massive efflorescence of book distribution in America through the, that was occasioned through the Radha Damodar Traveling Sankirtan Party. He was in England, and he came to England. I was born in England this time round, and I left England fairly soon after joining to come to India and subsequently spend time in Bangladesh and other countries. But then, starting from 1986, I started to come to the West regularly, including brief stops in England, and I used to see him there. Two things in particular I remember about seeing him in England, two incidents, you could say. One was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, just outside London. I was in the guest room, the Prabhupada Disciples room, looking out. I just looked out on the lawn there, and he was sitting there, and he was sitting there giving a class to three or four devotees, and then he was just talking with them on and on. I believe he had a scheduled time, but then afterwards he was just going on talking and talking to them. Of course, I was at a distance. I couldn't hear what he was saying. But I was struck by the fact that even though he was known as an accomplished preacher, he had many devotees who were interested to associate with him, but he was quite happy to give what we call quality time, hours and hours, to just one or two individuals. The group was four or five, and then it reduced to one or two, and then he was just personally talking to them. So that struck me, that he was prepared to give himself to individuals. Another, and this might have come before that, I can't remember the chronology, and doesn't matter that much, was at Soho Street Temple, where I came in. He'd already started giving his talk. It was the morning talk on Balaram's appearance day, Balaram Purnima. And it was a superb talk. And I got to know, as I listened to more of his talks, that all his talks were superb. They're very, very deeply researched, with all quotes from so many different shastras and comments of previous acharyas. I was I was very impressed with it, and I got a recording of it after that talk, so I could hear the beginning also. And then I got the idea, well, there's so much in here, you could make a whole book out of it. So taking his permission, I got that transcribed, and then I started work expanding it a bit, adding a few things, and making it into a book on Balaram. That book on Balaram has been in the womb for a long time, still hasn't come out. Looking forward to it when it comes. But then I myself, at the request of disciples in Croatia, started to hold an annual festival in Croatia, and especially for my disciples, and others would come also, because I had disciples from around the country. And then we used to invite guest speakers also. And one time he came, and we wanted other times he would come also. And as usual, I met him at a festival before that in Croatia, and that was organized by ISKCON Zagreb at the time at some campsite inland before they started doing it on the coast, with some lake there, I believe it was. I don't know, memory is a strange thing. Whatever I have, I don't have a photogenic memory. Anyway, I remember one time we got into discussing, and the Rupa Goswami's verse that we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita that explains the Yakomara Hara verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mysteriously recited at Rath Yatra, and then Rupa Goswami made a verse to explain that and how this all unfolds as the Rath Yatra, so that was a nice discussion. Yeah, and in Lika, that was in Croatia where we had my disciples festival. Naturally, some of his disciples came also, and we all had the experience at that festival. We were all very impressed by his presentation of Shastra. He's very learned, very thorough in his presentations, very sober, and there's no showmanship there. Very thoughtful. He wasn't just repeating, but he blended it together. He contemplated it also. And at the same time, while bringing in so many points from previous acharyas, at the same time very faithful to Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's style of presentation, not presenting it in some kind of way that sometimes we see devotees who give talks from higher or high-level topics, but he was very cautious not to publicly venture into areas that Srila Prabhupada cautioned us not to discuss publicly. And he also didn't come off like, you know, I'm giving you all the highest things and I'm the savior of ISKCON or any such thing. It was his relishing of the pastimes of Krishna and the tattva, the philosophical understandings concerning Krishna. He was relishing that and sharing that. Just one little incident, it's a funny thing, in Croatia, that at that Lika camp, because I used to put eye drops, water-based eye drops, in my eyes, and regularly. So he saw me doing that once. I was just about to go and give a class, And he said, you're putting in some artificial tears. You must have learned it from the Sahajiyas in Bangladesh. He's joking, of course. And he said, no, they don't do that. They use chili powder. The real serious ones who want to get lots of tears, they use chili powder. And just a little touch of it, otherwise it would be torrents of tears if you used more than one or two grains of chili powder. So that was a little joking exchange. We had in Russia, I saw him maybe a few times there at different festivals. He spent time learning Russian because he wanted to interact with the Russian devotees without having to go through a translator. He spent about 1 year of his life, of course, not ceasing to do activities of Krishna consciousness or giving talks or any such thing, but he would go every day for Russian, learning Russian, living in Moscow, I believe it was. And he was at the point where he would talk with the devotees. He would interact with them. He'd have conversations with them. Very peaceful by nature. And once then, somehow in conversation, he told me he's from New York City. I was surprised. You're from New York? I was surprised, because we generally think of New Yorkers as being very sharp and, they're not peaceful. Not that they don't have good, they have very good qualities for getting things done in the world. So many of our leaders of the Krishna Conscious Movement came from New York City, but we generally don't think of them as being very peaceful personalities. So I was surprised, and he said, yeah, I, it's possible to change, which suggests that he was previously quite passionate, you might say, also. He was very peaceful. He creates a peaceful kind of atmosphere around him. There are some devotees like that. Krishna Kshetra Maharaj is like that also. He's so peaceful that he creates peacefulness around himself. He just cools everyone down when he comes in any place. Purnachandra Maharaj was that rare kind of person who pretty much everyone likes. Ajata Shatru. It's hard to find anyone who didn't like him, or who was inimical toward him. He wasn't only soft-spoken, he was also outspoken. He wasn't afraid to speak out. In fact, he made a whole book, the title of which I don't remember, Hidden Obstacles on the Path of Devotional Service, something like that, in which he frankly discusses various syndromes within the Krishna Consciousness Movement that he had observed, and wasn't hard to observe, but sometimes you need someone to point out things. Things like devotees equating leadership positions within the movement with spiritual advancement, and exploiting devotees by leaders, and using the spiritual principle of surrender to get devotees to kowtow to your will, and to stifle their spiritual progress, and to make them, instead, one of the points he made in that small book was that Srila Prabhupada wanted disciples who are independently thoughtful, but that is often stifled by leaders or managers who want followers who are not independently thoughtful because they're troublesome. So in that sense, there were some who were not so happy with him, but his personality was that he pointed out problems without pointing fingers at individuals. His New York background, I guess, that made him very down to earth also. That's one thing. He was a guru with Anamovan Sannyasi, and guru, he took sannyas just shortly before he left this world. But even before he started accepting disciples formally, he was clearly a spiritual leader in as much as he gave spiritual guidance. And he wasn't the type who was going to go out and storm the world and initiate left, right, and center. He always kept a somewhat low profile, but his own qualities, he was recognized. Just another couple of incidents from Russia, I remember. It must have been the last time. No, let's get it in different order then. One time in Mongolarty in the South Russia camp, there were very few devotees in Mongolarty, about maybe less, around 100 or less than 100, which isn't many when there are about 4,000 attendees at the festival. Maybe that was the last time I went to such festivals, because they often go on late at night and then no one, including leaders, turn up for Mongolarty. But he was there and I was there, out of all the leaders. Maybe there were others also, but I remember I was leading the kirtan, and I was trying to lead as I usually, when I lead Mongolarty kirtan, I usually start off slow and then gradually speed up. But the devotees, they couldn't follow slow. All they could do was sing fast, and I was trying to slow them down. After I tried a few times, he just quietly leaned over to me and said, "Look, if they can't follow, why don't you go along with them?" And so I acquiesced with his advice. And then I believe the last time I saw him was in Moscow, and I went in to see him. It was early morning. I can't remember why I did. It was during Japa period. I don't usually talk with others at that time. Maybe I was leaving. I can't remember. And he was sitting alone in the room that had been allocated to him, with everything dark and just a candle burning, that's all. Of course, he could have put the light on, but he liked to chant, and just enough light to see things if you need to see things. Otherwise, just enough light, and very, very soft light. And then we spoke a little bit, and I believe at that time he said he was going to go for treatment and this and that, and he might pass away, and didn't seem to be disturbed by that at all. Just one more thing I should mention, and anyone who knows Purnachandra Maharaj at all will know this very well. He also had great love for kirtan, and lively kirtans. No, not very lively in the sense that they're pounding and this and that, but happy kirtans, very expert mridanga player. And one thing I remember also about him is he smiled a lot, smiled and laughed, not uproarious laughter, but he's always open to crack a joke, to share jokes. He left this world at a relatively young age, too soon. Just he obviously learning Russian, he had a plan to put in a lot of time in that huge field. He left this world young. Such is the will of Krishna. We can't understand. Hare Krishna. That's all I remember for now. There was, I'm sure many, many devotees remembering him who say they lost a friend, but not lost, because we're all eternally related in the service of Krishna. Particularly, he and I and so many others are eternally related at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And we enter this world, we leave this world, and ultimately we all have to join in Krishna's world, which He spoke about and directed us toward. So thank you to Him, and thank you for His disciples who asked me to speak about Him. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.